Could more women tech leaders make the internet less awful? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino in for Molly Wood. The dating app Bumble swiped right on its IPO last week, making its CEO, Whitney Wolf Herd, the youngest female CEO to take a company public. Not only that, but 8 of the company's 11 board members also identify as women. And that has more than just symbolic power. Bumble has styled itself as a women-first dating app. The platform encourages them to send the first message. It also moderates the photos that are on profiles and the ones sent through direct messages, so users won't get any revealing content they didn't ask for. Sarah Kunst is the managing director of Clio Capital, and she advised Bumble on its venture capital arm. I asked her if all that translates into more women on the app than men.
No, you know what's funny? There are more men, because it turns out that when you empower women and when you give people, you know, dignity and equity in their relationships, that it helps everybody. It's not just women.
And how much of that do you think is because of the type of content moderation it does, like not allowing photos of shirtless men or worse?
I think that's a huge part of it, right? When you think, oh, maybe I'll go meet the love of my life today on a dating app, and instead you see something that you really did not want to see, it's disappointing, and it makes you less excited to do it. And so Bumble's done a ton of work in making sure that, you know, one, people are who they say they are with things like photo verification, two, that they're not doing creepy, mean, rude things. And if they do, then the company's taken a really firm stance that it's really kind of one strike and you're out. You know, with everything from people who want to body shame to people who are sending lewd images, that's not okay. And you know, certainly the legislation that they've been able to work on and push through in the state of Texas to make, you know, sending a picture that exposes yourself illegal, it makes so much sense. You know, those are the kinds of things that are so obvious in retrospect, but nobody in the dating app world or in the online dating world had taken that stand yet. And I think it's pretty clear from, you know, the market debut that there's a lot of success in helping people just treat each other better.
Given that success, do you think you'll see more companies kind of taking that same path of moderation?
Yeah, I mean, and I think this is happening, right, really in kind of everywhere right now in our world online. When you look at, you know, everything from Twitter's, you know, tussles with the last president to the Facebook review board, there's starting to be this understanding that you can't be the Wild West, right? You build roads in the real world, but then you put up speed limit. I think we're seeing that happen a lot right now in the digital world. And I think companies like Bumble that had the vision and that had the real kind of character to stand up and say, this isn't okay, we're not doing it, I think that really, really matters. And so that, I think, is something that we're going to see more of, not less of. And it certainly hasn't escaped my notice that it seems like, you know, women-led companies in particular are really leaning in that way.
Now, this good news for Bumble comes on the heels of what looks like bad news for other women-led tech companies. With so many facets of life, the pandemic seems to have exacerbated inequities, including with venture funding. So the share of venture capital dollars for companies founded by women declined last year to 2.3%, according to Crunchbase. So what happened, and what do you think needs to happen to change that?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is it is a frustrating problem with a very simple solution. The solution is, you know, fund more women, and fund more women because you either fundamentally believe that somehow men are just so much naturally better at running companies and raising money that they take up, you know, 90% plus of all venture funding, or you think that there is some inequity and there's a problem to be solved there. And, you know, the reason to solve it isn't the social mission. It's because if you are leaving that much money on the table by not funding women, then you're not going to make as much money as you should. And, you know, it is your job as a investor, as a venture capital investor, to make money. And so by only looking at a tiny sliver of the population, you know, that's a lot of money you're not making, and that's not good. So, you know, that's the solution. Why is it a problem? I mean, the reason for this problem is always the same. The reasons never change. It's always sexism. It's always bias. It's always, you know, the concept of homophily, of saying every human is generally drawn to people who remind them of themselves. And when you don't have enough diversity on the investing side of the table, you're very unlikely to see that diversity, you know, take place on the founder side, you know.
Bumble obviously had a really successful IPO. Do you think that will make a difference, you know, in all of the stuff that you're talking about?
You know, the success of Bumble's IPO and you know, being the youngest woman to ever take a company public reminds me of the success of Katrina Lake and Stitch Fix a few years back. And it is certainly helping to move that needle, right? If you can't be what you can't see, you know, shortly after Bumble's IPO came to market, Allison from the CEO over at Modern Health, you know, a company that's recently became a unicorn, you know, said openly that she looks at that as a real inspiration to think about, you know, how do we get an even younger woman to IPO her company next? And so now they're looking at that. I think that deeply matters both on the founder side and on the investor side, because when you start to see that, it becomes a lot easier the next time a woman walks in your office building a company that you might not 100% understand because it's not fixing a personal pain point for you, and say, well, I mean, if there's been all this success in the market and this person seems interesting and credible, why wouldn't they be next? And so I think it's incredibly, incredibly important.
Sarah Kunst is the managing director of Clio Capital and an advisor to Bumble. And now for some related links. Sarah Kunst also mentioned a study about diversity at venture capital firms and how partners' children influence their investing and hiring choices. It was written by Harvard's Paul Gompers and the Wharton School's Sophie Wang. It found that the more daughters a VC partner had, the more women they tended to hire at their own firms, and the more profitable the firm's investments turned out to be. Also, in service of the goal of greater diversity in venture capital funding, Sarah Kunst's own company, Clio Capital, debuted a fund a couple years ago to invest in women to act as VC scouts, that is, to track down those future Bumbles and Stitch Fixes of the world while they're still in a garage or dorm room somewhere. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and this is Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.